This is Jerry Toome with Smart Money, a broadcast of Cornerstone Financial Services with Cornerstone President and Founder, Jerry Toome. Jerry Toome is a certified financial planner. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, member, FINRA, and SIPC. Cornerstone Financial Services and Independent Financial Group, LLC, are unaffiliated entities. Views and opinions heard on Jerry Toome's Smart Money are not necessarily the opinion of this station or its management or Independent Financial Group, LLC, its affiliates, officers, or directors. Material on this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. We are here to talk about your finances, investments, and the economy, and we are aiming to change the way America thinks about investing.
And we're going to an interview now with Ed Crisold, who is one of the senior stock analysts for Ned Davis Research. And by the way, if you want to get information about their services, NDR, Ned Davis Resources, NDR is what it's all about, .com. And I just want to explain a little bit before we have this interview about how we've looked at these guys. His book is been remodeled, it's been updated, but it's called Being Right. I'm talking about Ned Davis Sr., Ned Davis rather, not Ed. Being Right or Making Money. And if you read the thesis of his book, it's really good. These guys are right on the same page as us. They are tactical, so they don't do long-term buy and hold. They will wait till they get a confirmation from their indicators. But as Ed will tell you in just a moment, they're considering that we're probably going to have a recessionary bear, which are worse than the temporary bear. So again, you have non-recessionary bears, maybe you have a 20% decline. If that's where we're at, then that's, you know, we might be done with this one. I just don't think so. I think we're probably almost certainly headed to a recession in the second half of the year, and who knows what's going to happen with the trade war, who knows what's going to happen with Iran and their nuclear program, and does Israel try to take them out this year, does the U.S. back Israel? There's so many risks out there. I think this is going to be a more pronounced and a longer bear. So he'll give you the definition of those. He'll also tell you what the magnitude of those typically are, whether it's a recession bear, and it even could be a secular bear. So let me give you our definition to help cement how this works in our mind, our views. Number one, Goldilocks and the three bear. First, you have baby bear. Baby bear, in our mind, is a correction in an ongoing bull market. So you're going from 2009 to 2020 or something like that. And one of those, for example, was 2018. The tariff thing came up. The Fed was cutting, was tight money and so forth. And so you had a short-term bear market, almost bear. And we're still there now on this one. So you have your baby bears, correction, but it's an ongoing bull market. So the tide is coming in. And it's a way, you have waves along the way, but it's still the tides coming in. In a recessionary bear, usually you have a much bigger drop. And again, he'll quantify that in a moment. Typically, those bears, 30-35%. But if it's what's called a secular bear, so your cyclical bears are like the mama bear and Goldilocks and three bears. 30-35% is typical. If it is a secular bear, and we just don't know that yet, and we'll describe what those are like in a moment with the interview here. A secular bear is usually one that lasts a lot longer, as much deeper. We had one of those in 2000. We had one of those in 1974. We had one of those in 2008. Those secular bears, you can be up to 50% down. Now, if you're not retired and you want to ride it out or dollar cost average through those, that's your prerogative. If you're retired, though, that puts you way behind the curve. And if you're living on any of your money, that can become self-destructive. So we are focusing primarily on people that are retired in our client base, in our business. And so for that reason, we think, you know, avoiding the daddy bears at all costs is very, very important. So if you want to look at their newsletters and their information, again, go to NDR, like Ned Davis Research, .com. Let's go to the interview with Ed Crisold. Well, Ed, thanks for being with us on Smart Money. You're one of the primary stock analysts for Ned Davis. And by the way, I love Ned's book, Being Right or Making Money. What a title. And that's kind of, okay, are you right about your opinion? Are you making money? And I know there's a backstory to that. Do you care to comment on the book or the philosophy that Ned Davis started this firm? I know you're one of the stock analysts. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, so my personal experience with NDR is I was a client when I started in the business. This was in the late 90s, and you know your screen was green every day, and everybody seemed like a genius. And there was this person out there saying, "This isn't how it normally goes." Hmm. However, my trend indicators are keeping me in the market, but we need to be ready. And so when the trend turned in 2000. Ned was one of the first to get out. Meanwhile, everybody else was still talking about new paradigms. Hmm. And that was a great lesson to me of the NDR approach and NDR philosophy. And yeah, so we talk a lot about what we think might happen, but at the end of the day, it's about our indicators and what they're saying. And so again, being right or making money.
Yeah. So again, I know it. From his experience, he grew up in the 70s, and he said he was usually right about the macro, but he didn't get his timing right, so that's how this whole company got started. Now, I know your systems, because you have a lot of different systems, and we read about six or seven of your newsletters, so I know they work a little different. Each one has, a lot of you guys have different separate models that you run, but I want to say, first of all, I've been impressed as I've gotten to know how you run your models over the last several months, really a little over a year. I'm impressed at how accurate things are. And I know you're not a buy and hold shop. My view of the world is that we've started a significant bear market, but I know that many of your models have not yet confirmed that, and you're waiting on confirmation. So what are your views, first of all? Are we in a bear market, do you think? And you don't have to, you know, you don't absolutely have to give me a guess on that or educated guess, but I'd like one anyway. If we're starting a major bear market, what will it take to confirm that? How will we know this is not just a correction in an ongoing bull market versus the other thing would be if we're starting a bear or a major bear possibly, what are you looking for?
Sure. I think at this point, the real question is whether or not the economy is going to fall into a recession.
Okay.
So about half of all bear markets have recessions. Half of them don't. Now, these are what we call these cyclical bear markets, and we talk about different time frames. So cyclical bear markets can last anywhere from about 6 months to a few years. And the non-recession bears, which kind of makes sense, tend to be shorter and less severe, mm-hmm. 20-25% decline on average. It lasts about 7 months. And so if we don't get a recession, it's quite possible, you know, there could be some backing and filling and maybe, you know, a retest and a scare of the market over the next several months, and that would probably be about it. Whereas if we're going into a recession, then there's probably another down leg to this whole bear market. The average recessionary bear market is about a 35% decline over about a year and a half. So this would represent just the first leg down in a major bear market. So that's what we're really keyed in on at the moment.
Okay, that's good insight, good information. And I'm kind of throwing you a little bit of curveball here because I'm not, this was not in the print material I sent you, but we always talk about if it is a more severe bear, you know, we talk about mama bears and so forth. Typically, a lot of the times what you'll see is kind of three stages emotionally. You'll have the denial phase. So I would agree with you that we can't tell yet if this is going to be a non-recession bear or recession bear. That's yet to be determined. If it ends up being a recession bear, my experience has been there's kind of three phases. There's a denial phase where everybody says it's not a bear. Then a recognition phase where people are usually like, and again, I'm not talking about institutional people. I'm talking about retail type clients, investors that are, you know, retail clients. So you tend to go through the deer in the headlights, I don't know what to do, and then you have the capitulation or panic phase of that. Do you have any thoughts on that? It looks like we may be, I would at this point bet, and of course I know you're going to be driven by the data. You're like David McCord, he's our chartered market technician, president of our company. You're going to be driven by the data. But if we do go through that, if we are talking about a recession bear, and I'm concerned about what's going to happen with Iran and Israel also this year, and more importantly, Trump, whether he's going to get involved or not. This could be what we refer to as a grizzly bear. It could be a mama bear. It looks to me like it's a bear one way or another, not just a correction in an up market. So what are your thoughts on, I threw you a whole lot of stuff all at once, but what are your thoughts on some of this?
Yeah, well, I guess I never really answered your last question. So to be fair, while we follow the data, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But my working assumption is that this is a bear market, and there's a pretty decent chance it turns into a recession.
Okay.
A recession bear. But in terms of your take on sentiment, that is exactly correct. And where are we right now? Well, we've seen some signs of people getting nervous. Clearly, after Liberation Day, when you had a 10% decline in the S&P over 2 days, it's only happened three other times since World War II. That was 1987, 2008 financial crisis, and in 2020 during the pandemic, initial decline. So that puts us in rare territory. But if you look at some other signs of investor activity, it hasn't gotten to the let's just get out of the market at any price,
right,
type of situation. For example, we look at inflows into domestic equity ETFs,
mm-hmm,
and they are still running positive. You look at the last 4 week average, and that's not what happens at the bottom of a bear market. Normally, it's just say, hey, I can't take the pain anymore. Let me get out. And I think the sentiment, this is more qualitative from talking to people, that because it was so fast,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of people didn't have, if you're a day trader, if you're an institution, you're a hedge fund, you're paid to be in the market every day, yeah, you were looking at this. But if not, you look at your portfolio, every month or so, or every quarter, you haven't had time to really react, and so that phase hasn't gotten there, and so if we go into recession, that's the sentiment shoe that needs to drop.
All right, so your view is most likely you think this is probably a recessionary bear, which we know is a lot deeper. Taking that a step further, our clients, our listeners, we've tried to get them, and our clients, to understand the difference in a cyclical bear versus a secular bear, and I could make the case either way right now. I know Ned, in his most recent newsletter, he's talking about this could be the beginning of a secular bear. Do you have an opinion on that? Is this, and again, you don't have to have an opinion because I know you're data driven, but if this had the earmarks in your mind, let's assume that we do have a recession, which I think is going to happen later this year. If we do have a recession and it becomes a recessionary bear, those, again, are the bigger ones. It could be a mama bear, which, again, is, we in our vernacular, the way we use it is, a correction in a bull market's 10 or 15%. A mama bear is usually 20 to 30-ish%. And a secular bear, like you had in 2008, like you had in 2000, those are more like 50% type bears. Would you have an opinion on which one of those we're likely to see if this turns out, if we do have a recession?
Yeah, so the way I'd answer that is, we think of the secular bull market started in 2009, end of that last major decline.
Right.
And these secular bulls, they can last, 18 to 24 years. If you look, mm-hmm, at the last few, the one that was from 82 to 2000, and then the one from 1942, which kind of came right after the Battle of Midway and ended in 1966 as the spending for Vietnam was ratcheting up, and Johnson's Guns and Butter programs, where he's trying to do great society spending, and inflation started to get out of control. So we're it's a little bit, we only have two cases, a little bit early, mm-hmm, but we're certainly in the window where we need to be thinking about it, and that's where what we've been talking about over the last several months of, hey, let's time to be thinking in terms of, will the next decline be a more severe one? And some of those signs, on the sentiment side of things, for example, percentage of household assets, mm-hmm, in stocks,
right,
recently hit a record high.
Right.
And we look at valuations, depending on how you want to define it, price to earnings ratios, where you just take the last four quarter earnings of the S&P 500 versus the price, it's in the You know, it was a few months ago in the top 10% of all readings historically. Mm-hmm. They use something else people call the Shiller PE or the right. CAPE PE. It's just like a 10-year average of earnings. And you adjust it for inflation and then look at price. And that is extremely high. And usually when you get those readings, you know, the returns over the next 10 years tend to be lower. And so where we see it, there's a table set. It's just a question of the catalyst. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think the question is, and it really depends on how far the administration goes in remaking the economy. And I'm not here to tell you it's right or wrong thing, mm-hmm. but when you have almost 40% of the S&P 500 in the top 10 stocks, which are the so-called, many of them are the so-called Mag 7, mm-hmm. you know, the NVIDIAs, Microsoft, Apples of the world, you know, for the most part, those companies are not the ones that are going to benefit initially from a reconfiguration of global supply chains right. and reshoring. And so it's going to be difficult for a cap-weighted index like the S&P 500 to make much headway. And so I think that's the open question, is whether or not this is something that is a minor tweak at the end of the day, or is this really, you know, something only happens every few decades where we're reconfiguring mm-hmm. how the global economy works.
That's good insight, and I certainly understand historical perspective what you're talking about here. One more final question, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw in here. You know, we've had these periods, you mentioned the secular bulls, how long they ran. One started, you know, when the World War II was not quite over, ran till 66. One started in 1982 and ran till 2000, the top of the dot-com bubble. Now, we had a period of time where there was a secular bear. So that's the opposite, folks. That's the opposite of the bull. Secular bull is a long-term, again, it's kind of like the old saying that stocks go up on an escalator and then they eventually go down on an elevator. You had crashes in, you know, we had one in 66, 1970, but the big one was in 1974, the, quote, Nifty 50 market, where the big institutions got fed up with technology from the 60s and they piled in the same 50 stocks, saying those will permanently go up, and they went down 85, 90%. A lot of them are still around. Avon, Clorox, Disney. Anyway, the dot-com was different. That had companies that had business plans. There was no actual company. Some of these things were valued at tens of millions of dollars, and all they had was, I remember one that Jeremy Siegel talked about that actually was a business plan, and it was a shell company, and they said, there's nothing outstanding about this shell company. It has zero sales, and yet it was worth like $78 million or something like that. So it's a crazy mania. And Maybe now, we'll see. So these are some periods of time where you get extreme bears when you get those kind of drops. Do you see any historical lessons that might apply to where we are today from any of those past, let's call them again, secular bear markets?
Yeah, I think there's two things I'll point out. One, directly what you were talking about. I think the Nifty 50 era is probably more appropriate than mm-hmm. the dot-com, because the biggest stocks in the market right now, these are real companies.
Right.
They have fantastic cash flow. It's amazing. They can return billions of capital to shareholders through dividends and buybacks, and mm-hmm. also put billions of dollars into capital spending plans through AI.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's really no companies in history that could have done this. Mm. Now, it's possible that some of this AI spending turned out to be, you know, throwing good money after bad from a profitability standpoint,
right.
not necessarily from a technology standpoint. So I think the Nifty 50 era seems to be more appropriate. These are real companies that just everybody got into, primarily because, you know, ETFs made it so easy. Everybody
right.
just buys some cap-weighted ETF. So that, I think, it makes sense. The other thing that happened, you know, this is why history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme.
Right.
You know, in the 60s, it was the inflation came first.
Mm, good point.
And then you got the Nifty 50 a few years later. Well, we certainly had an inflation surge in 2022, but it's quite possible we got the Mag 7, and then this becomes a prolonged higher inflation era.
Hmm.
due to resource constraints as we reshore and also as we deal with global demographics, where we here in the U.S. we always joke about millennials and mm-hmm. how annoying they are and so forth. Well, a lot of countries would love to have millennials.
True.
They never had that mini baby boom, and so their workforces are aging out. Mm-hmm. They're retiring. There's no one left behind them. Mm. And so this is going to have an impact on wages globally, and we could be in an era of higher inflation. So again, it doesn't repeat, it runs, but the mm-hmm. combination of everybody piling into the same few stocks and then a new inflation regime, I think is the recipe for a secular bear market.
All right. Well, I agree with you completely, and I'm very surprised how much we agree. Not that I was expecting to disagree, but I'm like, everything, I apologize for saying it this way, but everything you're telling people is what I've been telling people for the most part. But you're more of a technician, a little more short-term. But these are great long-term insights that you've got. Any final words you want for our audience today, Ed?
The only thing I'd say is, just stay disciplined and focused. Markets go through phases. The important thing is to have a long-term plan, mm-hmm. All-weather plan, and stick with it through all the weather conditions.
All right. Excellent insight. We appreciate you, and we will certainly look forward to having you back in the future, assuming that time allows. So.
Thanks for having me.
Jerry Tuma Smart Money is a broadcast of Cornerstone Financial Services of Dallas, Texas. Jerry Tuma is a certified financial planner. Financial advisors at Cornerstone could help you if you prefer to delegate your investment decisions to a financial professional. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Cornerstone Financial Services and Independent Financial Group, LLC, are unaffiliated entities. We publish a newsletter, Cornerstone Report, which is available on our website or by calling our toll-free number at 800-327-4285. That's also the number to call for more information about anything we've discussed during today's broadcast. For more information, visit our website at cornerstonereport.com. Views and opinions heard on Jerry Tuma's Smart Money are not necessarily the opinion of this station or its management or Independent Financial Group, LLC, its affiliates, officers, or directors. Material on this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. Remember, we are aiming to change the way America thinks about investing.